This show is Magic the Amateuring. The name of this gal is Maria.
The name of this show is Magic the Amateuring. And the name of me is Megan.
That's right. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode 87 of Magic the Amateuring. Can you believe, Megan, we've been podcasting for 87 years?
87 years.
Yep. Wow. 87 years.
We sure are spry for being over 100 years old.
One show a year. That's what we've been doing for the past 87 years, and yep. Here we are again.
And remember, after this episode, you won't get to hear another one for another year.
That's right.
Wow, rough.
Hey, listeners, thanks for hanging in there for all 87 of our years.
That's right.
We made this show for Magic Amateurs because Megan and myself are Magic Amateurs.
Yep.
And we're glad you're still with us, even though you probably are, you know, old and retired.
Yeah. Or you progressed, you weren't amateur, you became a professional, and then you retired.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Now you're living in the mountains, making moonshine.
And, you know, yelling at the moon.
Counting your crow's feet. What? Our listeners are werewolves?
I said yelling at the moon.
What do werewolves do?
Howl at it.
I think that's all a matter of how you look at it.
Okay. I mean, when wolves howl to another wolf, it's probably just like,
hey,
yelling.
Hey!
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 Hey, moon!
Hey, moon! Come here. I want to lick you, moon. Hey!
Do you think that's what they're saying?
It's probably.
All wolves just want to lick the moon?
Yep. Yeah, have you ever had a dog come up to you? What does that dog want to do?
Lick you.
That's right. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
The evidence is there.
I mean, they just want to lick everything, right? So.
Hey, listeners, we got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about some awesome new Cons of Tarkir spoilers.
Oh, snap. Oh,
spoiler season.
Going crazy.
Is my favorite time of year. Megan, is it your favorite time of year?
It's one of my favorite times of year. What? It's like Christmas.
It is magic Christmas for sure. It is. And with the new set stuff, yeah. We're going to have two magic Christmases a year.
My other favorite time of year is when M15 is fucking over.
Well, you're in luck because it's like in 2 weeks.
Thank God.
We're also going to head back to our card mechanics that we did last week. We covered letters A through C of mechanics throughout the history of magic.
Don't worry. This week,
we're not going to do as many.
We're not going to do as many. We learned that.
I pledge that to
you. We sure did learn that lesson.
Megan's going to tell us a little story about Magic Online. And guess what? It's not a happy one.
Not a happy story, you guys.
So stick around, listen to us, or we'll cut your ears off.
What?
I was just gone for a second. I was like out of my body. Did I say something bad?
Do you know what? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, good.
I'm sure it's not a big deal. Maria. Last week we talked about mechanics A through C.
We sure did.
Man, that was a fucking lot of mechanics.
It sure was.
You know?
Wow, wizards, where do you pull this stuff out of? What pockets are you keeping these mechanics in?
You know, it really is crazy because to think that they have come up with all of these.
Yeah.
These have all just been invented.
Well, we don't know. Some of them may have been divinely inspired.
That's true. Gods of the magic variety. May have bestowed this information upon R&D.
That's right. And if a mechanic was to be divinely inspired, I would think bestow would have been it.
Oh, snap. Some of these mechanics may have been written on golden plates and then buried and dug up by R&D.
You guys, Megan just saw Book of Mormon. That's where this is coming from.
I mean, I think it's also an apt metaphor. It's another place where keywords and mechanics could have come from, buried on plates.
Morrow could have just seen them in his dream.
Oh, yeah.
He could have seen them in a piece of burnt toast.
A spooky MTG hell dream.
Like, you know how people see Jesus in toast? Morrow sees card mechanics in toast. You can quote me on that.
Oh, man, this toast says bestow.
And it says when you put a, you can cast this creature.
It's a creature that's also an aura.
That is some really finely burned toast.
I know. Good job, toaster.
So the point of this exercise is to familiarize ourselves with mechanics from cards over the years because, you know what? Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. And
right.
When Megan and I become magic card designers, we do not want to go repeating any mechanics that have already happened.
We don't want to Napoleon that shit.
No way. And I'm being a little facetious, but what I really mean is it's helpful to know what has come before you. You know, we're getting fancy new mechanics all the time, but it's kind of helpful to know what has been in the past, how well it may have worked, how shitty it may have been.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just still thinking about how I'm really glad that I referenced Napoleon and not the H word.
That was really good. What's the H word?
Who do you think the H word is, Maria?
Houdini.
Yeah, you remember how Houdini tried to invade Russia? God, that worked out poorly for him. That's why he died of appendicitis.
Yeah, man, don't go into Russia with a hurting appendix.
Nope.
That's what my mom always said. That
actually really sounds like good advice.
No, it sure does. I don't know what their medical system is over there.
I've actually been in a Russian hospital.
And?
Was it
a horror movie?
No, they were actually very nice, but they sure did not know what was wrong with my ankle.
Did it have appendicitis?
Yeah.
All right, hit me up with your first mechanic here, Megan.
All right, so we're going to go through D and E today.
Okay.
First one in D is Delve.
Delve.
Oh, and Maria, this is exciting because this was a mechanic that was in Future Sight.
Right. And as we established last show, Future Sight had cards printed with mechanics that it was a one-off. And it was like we were seeing cards from the future.
Yeah. And guess what? Guess what future those cards were from?
What future?
They were from Khans of Tarkir future.
That's nutty.
I know, ma'am, but Delve is going to be a mechanic in Khans of Tarkir.
That's so weird. What the heck is...
Khans of Tarkir.
You can cast cards cheaper based on creatures only in your graveyard, right?
Well, yeah. Well, by exiling any cards in your graveyard.
Any cards?
Any cards at all in your graveyard. Ooh. So the way Delve works is that... any number of cards that you exile from your graveyard when you cast it make that spell cost one colorless mana less.
That seems like a hell of a deal.
I mean, it sure does, but I mean, you better be putting some things in your graveyard.
You know, we've seen this mechanic once before in Modern Masters.
Oh.
On Bridge from Below.
Look at that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has happened before. So, everybody, you should already know how to do it.
Yeah. So, one example of this is Shambling Attendants. This is a...
Shambling Attendants. That's like flight attendants, stewardesses that have been hobbled, like in the movie, you know, what's that movie with Kathy Bates? You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You listeners, you know, you're yelling it at your radio. Nobody listens to the radio. You're yelling at your iPhone. You're yelling at your computer.
God, I have no idea. But this is a... So this card costs 7 and a black. Whew, 8 mana, that's expensive. It's a 3/5 death touch. So I'm like, that's really pricey.
Yeah. Misery. It's called Misery. Oh, thank you. The end. Good horror movie.
But it has Delve.
Delve.
So each card that you exile from your graveyard makes it cost one colorless less. So if you've been putting crap in your graveyard, maybe you're casting this for 4 or 5 or 6.
Do you think it's good? I think it sounds real good.
Delve or this card?
Delve.
Yeah, man. Delve seems pretty sweet. It is one of those mechanics that requires, right? It's not something that's going to be good if you just pick up a couple of cards that say Delve. You're also going to need to pick up cards that put cards into your graveyard.
But, I mean, cards are always going to end up in there. That's just the nature of the game, right?
Yeah, but think about it. For that card costs 8 mana. If you want to cast it for 6, you need to exile 2 cards. If you want to cast it for 5, you need to exile 3 cards.
Sure, sure.
So it's like, and if you have a couple of Delve spells, I mean, you're talking about needing like 8 to 9 cards in your graveyard. That's a pretty big number.
All right, sure. What do we got next?
All right, we have Detain.
Oh, I remember Detain.
Yeah, man, that was the mechanic of Azorius back in RTR.
Detain was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty chill.
It was like putting somebody in prison because I learned a new term for this today. It sticky tapped something.
It did sticky tap it.
Which is a way of saying it tapped an opponent's creature and that opponent's creature did not untap.
Although that's not quite the way Detain worked.
Oh, okay.
Detain was just that it didn't tap it. It just meant that it was until the start of your next turn. So it's not...
Oh, yeah.
It's not that it doesn't... Like, it taps and it doesn't untap, because that would tap it down for your turn, their turn, your turn.
Right.
This just does it for your turn, their turn.
Right, okay.
And it can't attack, block, or its activated abilities can't be activated.
So essentially.
I mean, essentially. It's like you're encrusting it if it was already... nope. Anyway. You're detaining it.
You're just detaining it.
That's the only word for it. You're detaining it. So that was all right.
There were some pretty sweet cards that had like a little detain bonus when they entered the battlefield. That was nice.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So it was a lot of like creatures. There was that one. It's like decree, some sort of Liev decree or something that.
Yep, I remember that card.
That just detained two creatures. Mm-hmm. That sucked.
That card was not good. But when detain was on a creature, there's some flyers that it was on. So when those flyers entered the battlefield, they detained somebody. That was Liev's really nice Sky tempo. Tempo. Like mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Azorius tempo. It was fun.
Exactly. It was a real good time. All right. Then next we have Devour.
Oh.
Ooh.
That sounds like a black mechanic.
Yeah, it really does. So Devour is from Alara. Okay. It was the Jund mechanic in Alara, which
black,
is the three color.
Green, white.
Almost.
Fuck.
Black, green.
Red.
Yes. Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Which now has a new name, kids.
So as if a creature has Devour on it, and it has Devour X. And so when a creature with Devour enters the battlefield, the controller may sacrifice any number of creatures to put X +1/+1 counters on the devouring creature for each creature sacrificed.
Sure.
So if it said Devour 3, I sack a creature and put 3 counters on it.
Oh.
Sack a creature, put 3 counters on it. Sack a creature, put 3 counters on it.
Nice.
When it enters the battlefield.
This, I believe, I've come across in Momir before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, with some...
That seems like it could be good in Momir.
Yeah, it is.
Because if it's on a big fat flyer, you can just sack some of the stupid crap.
The stupid guy is not doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devour.
Well, look at that. There you go.
All right, great.
All of these are always handy to know when you're playing a little Momir basic.
That's right. You guys, if you want to learn crazy magic stuff, we always recommend Momir because it's only 10 bucks and you learn a lot.
Yeah, it's only 10 bucks just to get the set and then you play for free for forever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great. All right. And the last one we have is Dredge.
Dredge.
This was the original Ravnica. It was the Golgari.
Very Golgari.
Of course.
Graveyard.
Stupid
green,
Golgari. Wait, and this,
dirty.
I feel like it also appeared in RTR, didn't it?
I remember Dredge.
No, that was Scavenge.
Oh.
Scavenge.
What the heck is the difference?
Well, so the ability of do you know where you've seen it?
Where?
Modern Masters.
Oh, it was in Modern Masters.
It had some dredge cards. It had like that it had that aura.
So what does it do?
So dredge is written as dredge X again, where X can be any number. And anytime you would draw a card, if you have a card with dredge in your graveyard, instead of drawing a card, you can put the X number of cards from your library into your graveyard and return the dredge card to your hand. So if I had a card that said dredge 3 in my graveyard, and I'm like, oh shit, that's a good card, I really want it back. Instead of drawing some rando card, I could put 3 cards from my library into my graveyard and then put that card back in my hand.
Sure, sure, sure.
So
I think I like Scavenge better.
Yeah? Why do you like Scavenge better?
Well, Scavenge allowed you to, if a card went to your graveyard, to exile it, I believe.
Yeah.
And then take any number of +1/+1 counters equal to that card's scavenge cost?
Yeah.
Or whatever? No,
the card had a scavenge cost. The
card had a scavenge cost, and it was equal to the card's power and toughness or something.
No, you just put counters equal to the card's power and toughness on any other creature.
On any other creature. So you beefed up a dude.
Yeah. I get how they both have graveyard synergy, but other than that, they're actually really different mechanics.
Yeah, they are. They're very different.
Yeah, I think I personally like dredge a little better because it's a way of, just think of it. If you have enough dredge cards in your deck, then, like, you put some cards in your graveyard in order to get your sweet dredge card back. And maybe when you put those cards in your graveyard, you put
another sweet dredge
card in there. So you're sculpting your draws a little bit.
Yeah.
You put some sweet cards in your hand.
Hey, yeah, not a lot of people played black-green in Modern Masters, but,
Yeah, man.
I did see friend of the show Matthias Hunt attempt a crazy ass black green deck in Modern Masters back in the day.
I'm sure he did.
That had a lot of dredge. Was not successful. Yeah. But that was because he was going real deep. So dredge allows you to go real deep, both literally and figuratively.
Nice. All right.
We're on to E. We're on to letter E.
We sure are. The first one we have is Echo.
Echo?
Yeah.
This, how do I always think every mechanic is flashback? Because this is exactly what Echo sounds like.
What? You saw Echo also in Modern Masters.
I did. I remember it.
Maria, what does Echo do?
Is it where on when I have to pay the Echo cost when it comes back around? Is it that one?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Last time we talked about cumulative upkeep.
Yes.
Which we said was
the worst.
Yes, the fucking worst. This is like a less
horrible.
Yeah, exactly. It's like cumulative upkeep light.
Yeah.
Diet cumulative upkeep
light.
Light.
It's like the tab of cumulative upkeeps.
Cumulative upkeep zero.
You guys, I was just telling Megan how I had a tab for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't yesterday. It was the other day. What am I talking about? Anyway, it was recently. It was a tab. Yeah. It was a delight.
Nice.
It was just a straight up delight.
Nice.
Everyone out there, try it, you know?
Pretty great, man.
Everything old is new again. That's a Barenaked Lady song. My BNL fans, I want you to tweet me up at MTAcast and let me know you're out there.
There you go. So anyways, yep, Echo is just an extra cost that, so there's the turn you cast your card, and on your next upkeep, you have to pay its Echo cost, or else you have to sack it.
So was this because when you played the card, it was just so super, super awesome sweet that you got a super early bonus for playing it early, so you had to pay a fine?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. There were also cards that, you know, kind of abused it in a way. There was, there's the... What is it? Is it Mog?
Yeah, General.
Or something like that in Modern Masters, which had, when it entered the battlefield, he was just a 1-1 goblin himself. When he entered the battlefield, you got a 1-1 goblin. Yeah. And he had an Echo cost, but he also had, when he died, you got a 1-1 goblin.
Yes.
So either way, you could just not pay the Echo cost, let him die, and still have 2-1-1 goblins. Sweet. In play. So, you know, there you go. Echo. Cumulative upkeep light. Entwine. Man, it's like Modern Masters party, retro party day.
With D and E. Yeah, Entwine.
Yeah. Do you remember Entwine?
I don't.
So that's just, the card has two different choices on it.
The card, is it like overprotective girlfriend? What does that mean?
What are you talking about?
There's a meme online of this face of this girl, and she's like, got this huge smile and crazy eyes, and it's like, overly protective girlfriend. Let me
how is this find a card?
It for you. Because that's what Entwine sounds like to me. Entwine sounds like...
Oh, she never lets you go.
Right. She doesn't let you do anything.
Yeah. No, not quite. Okay. This is like if you had a girlfriend that you really liked and you were choosing to go out and do activities with her.
Oh, this sounds like a normal relationship.
Exactly. Entwined is like a normal relationship.
Overly attached girlfriend. Excuse me.
Oh.
I'm saying so many things almost right today. It's incredible.
Yeah. I feel like that's every day for me.
Well, here's her picture, Megan. You can see the crazy face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor girl. She didn't mean to become a meme.
No, she didn't.
She really didn't. So
it happens to the best of us.
This Entwine cards were written as spells that had two different options. So it would be like two and a white, and you could have option A. I'm making up a card, right? But two and a white. Choose one. Either all of your creatures get +2/+2, or all of your creatures get first strike. And then it would have an Entwine cost, which was higher. But you got to use both of those things.
Yep.
So it would be like Entwine, 5 and a white. You get both.
Sweet.
Yeah. So it's a nice way of making those like those little like tricks, like instants or sorceries, better later in the game.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because it scales with the phase of the game you're in and your needs at any given time.
Yeah, man.
It's like, you know, if you had an apartment that was like the trash compactor in Star Wars, and you could make it bigger or smaller based on what you're feeling at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And there was also a weird worm that swam through your garbage.
Yeah. I think you're being really generous when you call that thing a worm. It's like a giant...
What would you call it?
A serpent. It's a giant serpent.
Nice.
Yeah, ma'am.
Nice.
I'm just saying I don't write serpent flavor when I see one. Okay. Also, so let's just talk about the trash compactor in Star Wars for a minute.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So there was that giant snake thing in there.
Serpent.
Serpent. Thank you. And it started to compact. Okay. One... is the most dense that trash compactor can get that trash.
Yeah.
Is it going to be thinner than their bodies? Because there's a lot of trash in there. So I'm saying once it has compacted it to its greatest possible density.
Yeah.
There might still be room for people in there.
You know, I think you're right.
Right? Two, isn't that how that serpent survived?
Yeah, because that serpent would be dead.
If it just trash compacted. The other option is that they only use that... That was the first time they've ever used that trash compactor on the Death Star. Because it's so big.
It was new.
They have other trash compactors, and they were just in a severe wrong time, wrong place situation.
Yeah, that could have been.
Yeah, ma'am.
When you think about trash that has been compacted, I usually am thinking about cars being made into those cute little cubes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people could easily fit on one of those cubes.
I think of the Brave Little Toaster and how that movie made me scared and want to cry.
Well, I'm just saying, like, either way, they had no reason to be worried in that scenario.
The toasters?
Oh, no.
Star Wars.
The Star Wars peeps.
I agree. I think that the serpent was the primary concern.
I like how if you were there, you would have logicked them out of their fear.
I'm like, you guys, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, and also R2's on it, so...
Yeah, everything's going to be good. Also, we're the protagonists in a movie. We're not going to die.
Do you guys want to hear my perfect impression of R2-D2 screaming?
Sure.
Ready? What do you think?
That was weird.
You're welcome.
All right, so moving on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next one is called Epic.
Epic?
Epic.
Ugh. Oh my god. So dumb.
I actually remember I looked this up because this sounded so fucking weird.
Oh god.
Okay, Maria, epic is my favorite thing ever.
Epic is when you turn a card from a common into a legendary.
Just for the heck of it?
Just that's the mechanic. Like, you can pay a certain mana cost. It's kind of like monstrous. And it goes from being common to being a legendary creature that's way more awesome.
Oh. I mean, there's like that level up stuff later on.
But I gotta make it better than that, because that's just, like, sort of, like, monstrous. Like, I don't know what else you have to do. You have to, like, discard, like, two of your cards, or you gotta tear them up from the draft, and then you can have this epic legendary creature.
Tear up your cards.
Yeah. You may have an epic creature. I kind of like that, actually.
So, this is actually more bonkers.
Than that?
More bonkers.
What?
So, there's two parts to epic. The first is that after you cast a spell with epic... you can't cast any more spells for the rest of the game.
What?
You're done.
You cast That's not a, real.
No, it is. It is. So there's
this
only...
This isn't some future shade.
No.
Future shade. I said it again. I said it last show.
It's meant to be.
Future shade.
It's meant to be. So there's only five of these. They were five rares, one in each color, during Saviors of Kamigawa.
Okay.
Only five cards have ever had this, one in each color. They're rares.
Sure.
So you can't cast any more spells. You're done.
All right. I get it. Oh, jeez.
But at the beginning of your upkeep for the rest of the game, you put a new copy of that spell on the stack.
Oh, okay.
So you're casting it every upkeep for the rest,
that
for
is
the rest
so
of the game.
Bonkers.
Isn't that bonkers?
So read me an epic card, please.
We're going to go over all of them because there's only five. So the green one is five green.
Okay. That's already an epic
mana five green. These are all sorceries. Put a 1/1 green snake creature token onto the battlefield for each card in your hand.
Okay, you probably only have one card in your hand.
Yes, but if you think about it, I mean, hopefully one, you already have other creatures in the board.
Or you like have built around this situation.
Exactly. Two, I mean, you can't cast anything else for the rest of the game, so you're going to be putting more and more snakes.
True.
Three, it's turn 8, so you probably never cast this card
probably
in the
like
first
turn
place.
15?
You probably never cast this card ever.
No, I don't think you do.
There you go. It's entertaining, right?
Yes.
All right, here's the white one. Enduring Ideal. 5 white.
Okay.
Search your library for an enchantment card and put it onto the battlefield. Then shuffle your library.
That's it?
Yeah, you'd better have a butt ton of enchantments. That's it.
Oh, okay. That's definitely, I don't think that's a limited card.
Well, Kamigawa did have some of those weird, like, flippy enchantment thingies.
Oh, flippy?
Yeah, you know, they had those flippy cards.
Like dolphins?
No, how are dolphins flippy?
If I had a dolphin, his name would be Flippy.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the name of your fictional dolphin.
I'm not going to name him Flipper, because give me a break, okay. But I will name him Flippy.
I'm glad you have some standards when it comes to naming dolphins.
Thank you.
It's, okay, it's also, not like the Innistrad ones. Also, he makes
me pancakes every morning, Flippy.
Is that why you named him that? Because he flips pancakes?
No, I named him that because he's a fucking dolphin.
God, okay, don't get angry about it. it had these cards that, it's not like the Innistrad ones where it's the top and the bottom. It would be like the card is cut in half vertically.
Oh, those
and
are
one
those
half
cards?
Faces one way and one half faces the
other
way.
Oh, God, I can't handle those cards. They're like my brain hurts looking at them.
So anyways, I think some of those were enchantments.
Okay.
Anyways, so maybe, I mean, you would still have to go crazy drafting around this deck. And also it costs 7, so who knows what you're doing.
Yeah, not doing it.
Oh, man, here we go. Let's go crazy. Blue.
Sure.
Eternal Dominion. I mean, I like the sound of that.
It does sound good.
7 blue.
Not happening.
Yeah, it's 10 mana.
Not happening.
10 mana. Search target opponent's library for an artifact, creature, enchantment, or land. Put that card onto the battlefield under your control. Then that player shuffles his or her library.
I mean, you almost just win, but for 10 mana...
You have either already won or
lost.
Already lost.
Yeah.
You've probably done one or the other.
Correct.
I mean, I guess once you get to 10, you're probably just top decking. So top decking this isn't the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Have you read 10 lands out? Yeah, I suppose I have.
I mean,
it was not a good day, though.
Unlimited? That was the case. Yeah, I wasn't happy about it. Let's see. Never Ending Torment.
I thought you were going to say story.
Never Ending Story.
Oh, Never Ending Torment.
4 red, white, green, black, blue. I feel like it would be all 5 colors.
Yeah, it probably would.
Never-ending torment.
Don't go in the quicksand, you're a horse.
I know. No, Artag.
Sorry.
Okay. It's the black one. 4 black. Definitely the most recently costed.
Sure.
Only cost 6. Search target player's library for X cards, where X is the number of cards in your hand, and exile them. Then that player shuffles his or her library. It also does the stupidest thing.
That is pretty dumb.
That's pretty stupid, right?
I don't really care.
I mean. If you play this on an empty board and your opponent has no good cards in hand, then you win.
You win, but you would have been winning anyway.
That's already an improbable scenario.
All right, what's red? Anything worth my time?
Undying Flames, 4 red. Exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card. Undying Flames deals damage to target creature or player equal to that card's converted mana cost. Okay, that doesn't sound bad.
Sure,
that sounds fine.
Yeah.
Every turn I just get to cast a burn spell.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I need to have a board presence before I'm casting.
Yeah, you
got to
make sure that you can win that race.
Exactly. But.
All right, that
sounds
epic.
The most reasonable.
That is epic. What
right?
can I say?
How bonkers is that?
I kind of like the fact that Wizards printed a mechanic that is only on those cards.
Yeah, right? That it's only 5 cards ever
I think
that
that's
have
cool.
it.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. I mean, it is definitely epic. Let's see. Evolve.
Evolve. We all know what Evolve is.
Oh, yeah, man.
We remember
a lot
this.
Of Evolve.
Evolve was great. We had the super sick blue-green deck. Mm-hmm. With Evolve, which is my best deck I've ever drafted, was a blue-green Evolve deck. And what happened is if you had a creature with Evolve, when another creature that came into the battlefield had a greater power or toughness, it would evolve your Evolve guy, put a 1/+1/+1 counter on him.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
It was awesome.
It was a lot of fun to play.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. Evoke.
Evoke?
Yeah, this is a Lorwyn and Morningtide mechanic. So it's an alternate casting cost for a creature, and it's lower, but it must be sacrificed upon entering the battlefield.
Oh, so it's kind of like...
We had this in Modern Masters.
Modern Masters, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Our good old friend.
What's his...
Fishy McFlyfly.
Yeah, exactly. Fishy McFlyfly, draw a card.
Yeah.
Draw two? How many cards did you draw? Why can't we think of the name of that card?
Oh my gosh, it's such a good
fishy
card.
Fishy McFlyfly. I'm going to Google MTG Fishy McFlyfly.
I bet you Google's going to know what it is. I feel so stupid for not remembering this name right now, because everybody knows and loves this card.
Yeah, I know, right? Why can't we think of it?
It's probably because, listeners, let me, you know, I don't want to give excuses, but we were wandering around the Renaissance Festival here in Minnesota all day. Yeah. And if you've ever been to our RenFest, it is a big deal up here. And we were in costumes, ladies and gents. We were in costumes.
Yeah, man.
If you're real good and follow us on Twitter at MTAcast, I'll tweet a picture of us in costumes.
What? Not of me, you won't.
Oh, fine, Megan. You're such a... Let's see. Followers.
Here we go. Okay, fine. You're right. Okay, Maria's correct. Okay, let's see. Some of our favorite evoke cards from Modern Masters. There was Aether Snipe.
Aether Snipe was great.
He was usually 5 and a blue for a 4/4 when he enters the battlefield, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand.
Mm-hmm.
His evoke cost was 1 blue-blue, so you're just returning a permanent to its owner's hand.
Fabulous.
Exactly, because he enters the battlefield, you get the effect, and then you have to sack him.
Yeah.
There you go. And then... obviously, Fishy McFlyfly
Fishy McFlyfly.
Hold on. Where is he?
You have to go to another page, probably.
Oh, you're right.
But I'm looking at all of these with Evoke, and I'm liking all of them. Yeah. Muldrifter!
Fishy McFlyfly. Jesus. Technically, he's an elemental, but, I mean, we all know what he really is.
So when tell him what Fishy McFlyfly did.
Oh, that's right. Fishy McFlyfly, Muldrifter, was 4 and a blue for a flying 2/2. Mm-hmm. When he enters the battlefield, draw 2 cards. I thought it was just one.
He was awesome.
So you could evoke for 2 and a blue. So essentially, he's either a 2/2 flyer with a divination for 5, or he's just a divination. Pretty sweet either way. Nice. All right.
Hey, quick pause check.
Okay.
What's going on in GPSLC?
He's up a game.
Oh my god. Listeners.
He looks like he's winning right now.
We're watching Grand Prix Salt Lake City as we record this podcast. Lest you think we are not amazingly dedicated, we are doing 2 things at once. And the finals is happening right now.
Yeah. And there's a Minnesota native in the finals.
Yes, so Brandon Nelson is in the finals. We've played with him at Mead Hall. And if you want to feel like you play with us at Mead Hall, you can go to themeadery.org and hang out with us.
Yeah, man.
That's our local game store.
So there you go. He's up a game right now, and things are looking good for him and this sucker.
Awesome.
So there you go. All right, we're almost done with E, Maria.
Okay, 2 more.
Holy shit, there's a lot. Exalted.
Okay.
This is from Bant, which is blue, green, white.
Okay.
From Shards of Alara. And it also came back in Magic 2013. So when any creature a player controls attacks alone, it gets +1/+1 for each permanent with Exalted.
Yes.
So if you have 2 different creatures that say Exalted and 1 creature attacks alone, then it gets +2/+2 because it's getting +1/+1 for each of those Exalted creatures. So very, you know, very attacky.
Yeah.
Very all in attacky.
It's up my alley.
Yeah, man.
What's our final E?
Extort.
I remember Extort, you guys.
Yeah, man.
It was an Orzhov mechanic.
It sure was. That was our Gatecrash friend from the Orzhov Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you played a spell, you could also pay a white or a black for each permanent with Extort on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would gain 1 life, and your opponent would lose 1 life.
Gain and drain.
That was pretty sweet. Extort could be pretty cool.
And it was very flavorful mechanic, too, because it really felt like what Orzhov wanted to do was tax you to death.
Exactly. That's what they were all about. Like. They were going to fucking get you.
Extort was a great mechanic.
The Orzhov Syndicate was definitely the man of the Return to Ravnica world.
What does that mean?
you know, it's like, oh, the man's getting me down.
Oh, I thought you were like going to equate some were women, some were men, some were, you know.
No, he's just like, you know, the man's getting me down. Man, the Orzov Syndicate's really keeping me down.
The Orzov Syndicate was the man.
It really was. But sometimes they got attacked to death by
Kingpin's Pet, my favorite card with Extort.
Oh, it was pretty great.
Basilica Screecher, also one of my all-time favorite Extort cards. Both are flyers. Both, like, were cheap and were great. They were, you know, up in the air, flying, attacking for significant chunks of damage, and giving you a sweet mana sink later in the game. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Brandon Nelson just won.
Oh my god.
Just Grand Prix.
Oh my god, you guys.
There you go.
He won the whole thing?
He won the whole thing.
What?
He just won the whole thing, bro.
That is insane.
I know, right?
I played some games with this guy.
I know.
I feel like that's really cool. Well, you guys, you heard it here first, but probably not, because you might have been watching this. You
probably heard it here last.
You probably heard it here last, but when we're recording this, we're telling you first.
Yeah.
That's how time works.
That is how time works.
Cons of Tarkir, everyone get excited.
Woo!
Do a little dance.
I already am excited.
Are you doing a little dance wherever you are?
Woo, I sure am.
I'm doing a dance right now. Do 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 cons. Do 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 do
cons. My bad. It's okay. I messed that one up.
Really could have still, you know, I understand. You guys, Cons of Tarkir looks real sweet. A lot of people are getting really excited for this set. For one reason mainly that I've come to see, and it's that people are printing fetch lands again.
Ooh, yeah, people are excited.
Yeah, so back in the day when these fetch lands first arrived on the scene, or whatever, they were like worth $30 or $40.
Yeah.
So I kind of think, like, this is going to be sweet money when you open your packs.
Yeah, you know, hopefully. These cards are all, not all of them, but a lot of them are modern staples.
Okay.
Modern plays a lot of fetch lands, so these cards are already coming in, you know, with a pretty high value for modern. And that's to say nothing of, you know, what the standard block is going to want from them.
Yeah, and they open up more possibilities for modern decks too that didn't have access to this kind of land before.
Yeah, or for standard decks.
Right, you're right.
Yep, and people have already been talking about how, you know, Courser of Kruphix and these fetch lands is going to be pretty sweet.
Oh my god.
Because Courser negates the paying a life, and it because with Courser you can see the top card of your library, you're going to be able to make some pretty sweet decisions about when you crack these fetch lands. In order to shuffle your library if you don't want to draw something.
Megan, I want you to guess which of these lands is my favorite fetch land.
I'm going to guess Flooded Strand.
You're correct.
I knew it. It's cute. It's the cutest.
It's so cute. That skeleton is adorable.
It's a really cute skeleton. As far as skeletons go,
I ever said that in my life?
Yeah.
Never.
Also, do you want to hear all of the flavor text on these lands? Because it's a little ridiculous.
Sure.
It's all very thematic.
Give me the best one.
No, but they're a set.
Oh, the set. Okay.
Where dragons once roared, their bones now keen. Where dragons once slept, their bones now rest. Where dragons once prevailed, their bones now sink. Where dragons once triumphed, their bones now molder. Where dragons' breath once burned, their bones now freeze.
I thought they were going to rhyme.
I'm sorry.
Wizards.
Why isn't that a poem?
Calling
Why
you
isn't
out.
That a rhyming poem?
Also, the names of all of these, as the tradition, Wizards tradition with dual lands of any kind, the names are all euphemisms for penis and vagina. Just
I mean, I'd be
across the board.
Be disappointed.
Windswept Hearth, Flooded Heath. Strand.
A hearth is something way different, man.
Oh, yeah. Windswept Heath. That one's a little on the fence. Flooded Strand is like a lonely wet pube.
Gross. Okay.
Polluted Delta.
Nope. We don't need to know. We don't need to know.
You guys know what I'm saying, Maria. You know what I'm saying.
All right. Maria, are there any cards that have caught your eye from Cons of Tarkir so far? I mean, we're getting to the point where we can't even call out each and every spoiler because
no,
there have been
so many.
So many.
There's so many, and they're awesome.
They are. I think one of the notable things that we've had is there's this set of morph creatures, the cycle of morph creatures, one in each color. They're all uncommons, and their morph is reveal that color card from your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having like a mana cost, there's Ruthless Ripper, which is the black one. It costs just one black to cast, and it's a 1/1.
With Death Touch,
yeah. And if you can cast it for morph for three colorless, and it's a 2/2. You morph it by revealing a black card from your hand. And when it's turned face up, target player loses 2 life.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
It's like a tricky little boom morph gotcha.
Exactly. And there's one in each color, and they each have, you know, a little come into the battlefield effect. The white one, you gain 2 life. The blue one, you get to look at your opponent's hand. The red one, target creature can't block this turn. The green one, target creature gains trample this turn.
So these are all really fun. But yeah, you shouldn't be too afraid of morph, at least not at this point. Because I was like, oh my god, if a card is morphed down on the table and I block, like, what is going to happen to me?
I'm going to be so extreme scared. Blowout.
But Marshall Sutcliffe, host of Limited Resources, writes a column for DailyMTG.com where I believe he said, as of now, there are no cards that can morph for less than 5 mana that will not trade with you upon their flip. If you block with at least like a 2 power, whatever.
Okay.
Dude, so block with, let's say, another morphed card. So even though that guy flips for free, he is going to die because he's just a 1/1, that Death Touch friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Even if you flip the green to Mer Charger, he's a 3/1, he will die from trade.
And this set, I've noticed so far, has also, obviously we don't have a lot of the commons spoiled yet, but there's not a ton of, like, combat tricks. And I feel like it's, you know, when you're playing, when you've played limited sets in the past, you know, you take care to know all of the combat tricks.
Right.
And it's like, in this case, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to, my brain just blanked out on me. I'm going to know all of the morph cards.
Right.
I'm going to know what my opponent's creature could possibly be.
You asked about what card has piqued my penis, but piqued my...
What? No.
No, my fancy, that's the phrase. And... Some that I've really liked is a Wingmate Rock.
Yeah. Ooh,
this is the mythic. And it's interesting to me because it's a bird. So I don't know if I've ever seen like a mythic bird before. Maybe I'm wrong.
You know, I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head. It does seem deceptively simple for a mythic. Right,
exactly.
But
so,
this card is pretty baller.
It is insane. For 3 and a 2 white, you get a 3/4 flyer. And if you attacked with another creature this turn, it has raid. That's the mechanic raid. You may put another 3/4 flyer on the battlefield. Time this card attacks, you guys, you gain 1 life for each attacking creature.
It's so much flying.
And so that it's means so if you have flying. 2 of these dudes out, do you gain 1 life for each of these 2 that are out there?
No, because it's not a copy of Wingmate Rock.
Oh, okay.
You're not putting a copy of it into play. You're just putting another 3/4 bird.
Yeah. Oh, such
value.
It's not
like Pack Rat.
I love this card. I know it's a mythic, so I should, but I just really like the design. I think it's cool that it's a random bird mythic.
Yeah.
It's not like a planeswalker. It's not whatever. It's some crazy dude. It's a freaking bird.
Bird.
I love that card.
Creature bird.
Yep.
I also really like a bird.
Oh, yeah.
But this is just an uncommon bird, and he's a bird shaman. So he's, you know, he's sentient. Doing some good work. He's for a green and a blue. It's a 2/2 flyer.
Ice Feather Aven,
yes. And he has morph, so he can be cast face down as a vanilla 2/2 for 3. And its morph is 1 green blue. So still, you know, 2/2 flyer for a 3. Still
mm-hmm,
good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, 2/2 flyer for 2. I mean, crap, yeah. Sign
yeah,
me up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Heck yes. When it's turned face up, you may return another target creature to its owner's hand.
Value.
Yep.
Value town.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
I mean, a lot of birds in this set are good because there's another bird that I enjoy that, well, it's, I shouldn't call it a bird. It has flying, though.
Oh.
You know the one I'm talking about?
No.
People seem to already like this card, and they should. It's Mantis Rider.
Oh.
It costs a blue, yeah, a red, and a white for a 3/3 hasty flyer with vigilance.
This guy's a rare. He's a human monk, though.
Yeah.
He's a not giant. Really a bird. He's a mantis riding monk.
Yeah.
He's a flying, praying mantis riding monk.
But don't trust that mantis, because this flavor text says mantis riders know that their mounts don't owe them loyalty. Even a mantis that has been broken in for years would devour its rider if ever he loses its concentration.
If ever he loses its concentration?
It's weird. It's worded weird.
Or his concentration.
I don't know.
I feel like this is maybe still based on the mock-up that they saw. This is a little weird.
But what I'm telling you is that this guy's riding a praying mantis.
I know. Sweet. And, I mean, everything that we talked about so far, I mean, there are just some powerful cards.
Yeah.
In cons so far.
But there are multiple colors, so I'm personally nervous about the mana fixing.
That's right.
I'm real nervous.
Well, you know, we are getting the tricolor lands.
Sure.
At uncommon.
Uncommon.
So it's not quite as good as, you know, the Dragon's Maze block, where, you know, in Dragon's Maze pack, there's always going to be a guild gate.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty sweet, you know?
That helped.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't great to have that in your first pack in Dragon's Maze draft, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. But you know, at least you have these tricolor lands.
You've got some fetch lands.
You've got some fetch lands, which are rare, so that's, you know, that's rough. Morph guys. You'll have maybe some creatures. Like, so far we have Rattleclaw Mystic. He's one in a green. He's a rare.
Mm-hmm.
He taps to add green, blue, or red to your mana pool.
Okay. So, I'm just nervous. That's all. Like,
no, I agree.
I hope Wizards understands. They've done a lot of multicolor sets, and apparently there's been some kind of weird problem every time that they've done one. Like, some fixing was too good. Some fixing was like, am I supposed to take this fixing, or am I supposed to take this awesome, sweet creature?
Which I did always feel about Dragon's Maze.
Right.
You know, I never felt like I quite got a grasp on Dragon's Maze.
Neither.
Because there's just so much shit going on.
There's tons going on.
So much going on.
It's and just I don't like want to take a land when I could take a sweet-ass dude.
Yeah, and what I have heard about the last tri-color set was that these three-color fixing lands were basically first picks.
Oh boy.
Because it's like, oh shit, now I can pick sweet cards and I know I can play them.
Okay. Another card I think is really fun is Ghostfire Blade.
Oh yeah, this is interesting. Tell us about Ghostfire Blade.
So it costs one colorless. The blade is invisible, FYI, on the art. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Equipped creature gets +2/+2, and the equipped cost is 3. However, Ghostfire Blade's equip ability costs 2 less to cost, or activate, 2 less to cost, you know what I'm saying, to activate, if it equip or targets a colorless creature. Okay, the plus side here, put it on a morph, dude.
That's right, because morph creatures are colorless while they're face down.
I love that.
Aw, shit.
I think that's so cool.
It's pretty cool, man. It's very cool.
Ghostfire Blade, I want to see, you know what I mean, that is a sweet-ass bonus for one. So,
yes.
That's like a bone crusher. That's better than bone splitter, sorry. That's better than bone splitter if you can put it on a morph, dude.
That's true. I mean, baller.
Awesome.
Super baller.
I want to see if that card actually turns out to be good or not.
Yeah, we'll see. They have put it at rare, so it seems like Wizards is anticipating that the card will be good.
Yeah, that's one I've got my little eye on.
Yeah, man. So far, I am very excited. We haven't seen the Temur leader yet.
No.
So I'm starting to get really curious.
Oh boy, it might
why
be spoiled.
Why is he or
tomorrow,
she? Why is he or she hiding?
You know, sneaky.
What the fuck is going on there?
Hey, talk about this giraffe.
Just what giraffe? Oh, that giraffe, the Abzan guide.
Yeah, this art is awesome.
It is. I love that it doesn't show the head of...
Some dude's riding a giraffe. It's awesome.
It's an Abzan. He's riding an Abzan.
Oh, okay, sure. Giraffe.
I'm guessing. Or he's... No, he's an Abzan. I don't even know. Okay, he's Abzan.
Oh, okay.
He is of the Abzan tribe.
So, some weird giraffe thing. You can't see its head.
Yeah.
Why is this card cool?
Well, one, it's a 4/4 lifelinker.
You that guys, is better than it sounds.
That's, do you realize that if you connect with this, that's an 8-point life swing? Wow. 8-point life.
You only got 20 swing. Life, everybody.
You only have 20, and you're gaining 4 and your opponent's losing 4. Hot damn.
Yeah.
And this is at a common. It does cost 6. It's 3 white, black, green. But holy crap. I mean, and you can morph it for 2 white, black, green. It's a morph creature, sick. So you can play it earlier in the game when you need it. And then, you know, you hit 5 mana and your 3 colors, you can just be like, boom, 4/4 lifelinker, motherfucker.
So there's a card people have been talking about in constructed capabilities.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a mythic. It allows you to copy just about any damn thing that you want.
That's true. Clever impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
Any damn thing.
2 blue.
And tell me, what have people been saying about this card?
Well, let me read it for you real quick. You may have Clever Impersonator enter the battlefield as a copy of any non-land permanent on the battlefield 00. So, clone. Any permanent.
Holy crap.
Any non-land permanent. That means you can copy a planeswalker, you guys.
Oh, shit.
Have you ever thought about that?
Listen to that.
Yeah.
I can copy a Banishing Light.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty. That would be pretty sweet. A planeswalker.
Yeah.
Oh, look at your Elspeth. Look at my Elspeth.
It's like a little mirror. A mirror of almost anything.
It's like a clever impersonator.
Would this card be too good if it let you copy a land?
Yeah, I think so, is the idea. Because then you can... Well, you know... I don't know is the answer to that question.
Okay, just wondering.
I'm trying to think because, like, it's like, on the one hand, you could be like, oh, 4 mana ramp spell. But it's like, oh, 4 mana for an extra land. There are better common ramp spells than that.
I want somebody to tell me why this card would be too good if it also lets you copy a land. Is it because of some weird, stupid Vintage or Legacy shenanigans?
It could just be, like, you know, for the purposes of... if someone casts something like... I'm trying to think. If there's anything that says, like, Planar Cleansing, destroy all non-land permanents.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, what if this is a land? Like, what if you played a Clever Impersonator and then they played a destroy all non-land permanents card?
Yeah.
Then it's like, that's just weird. Let's not bother with that weird rules interaction.
Okay.
Let's just make it nice, crisp, and clean. It can't be a land.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
So let us know. Tweet us at MTAcast and let us know what cards you're super excited for coming up in cons. We're going to continue to talk about them. If you have rules questions, make sure to keep listening to our podcast because we're going to have Judge Rob come on and explain all the crazy new rules stuff you guys got to worry about at your pre-release party time times.
Oh, shit.
Did you just yawn?
I did, but I tried to turn it into like a saying of excitement. Like, oh shit.
Yep.
But you caught me. I was yawning.
It's okay.
Listeners wouldn't know if you hadn't pointed it out.
I heard it. Aww. I'm wearing these headphones.
Okay.
It was audible.
Damn it.
MTGO woes.
Oh, God, you guys. This Megan, was the fucking worst.
Megan has a story now. You're going to get mad.
I've had some bad things happen on Modo.
You might want to bite a pillow.
Like all of us have, right? We've all had... Like, we haven't been able to submit our draft deck. It makes us log out of the program and log back in, and then by then it's too late to rebuild your deck and submit it in time. You know, that's happened.
We've all been burned.
Yeah, exactly. We've all had something shitty and weird happen with Modo.
But we don't all have a podcast, so.
That's right. And, well, also, this was the first time that I ever had something make me so mad that I wanted to quit.
Oh my God.
Like Modo forever.
And that will was you? How I felt. But will you?
Ugh, let's not talk about it. So I was playing this past weekend were the Modo M15 Limited Championships.
Yep.
So all the weekend before, I think there was like a 7-8 day period where you could play the Limited Championship qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And these were 6 boosters and 6 tickets to enter. It's 5 rounds. 3-0 gets 8 packs. 4-1 gets an invite to the championship, 12 packs and like a QP or something. And 5-0 gets an invite to the championship, 16 packs and like 3 QPs.
Sweet.
Yeah. Right? So I'm like, cool. Do you know, I'm going to play in one of these because it would be really cool to qualify for this limited championship.
Absolutely.
That would be sweet. And so I enter and I build a fucking sweet deck, you guys.
Yeah.
This deck was just all about value town. I was playing green white. So I had like a Sunblade Elf, which is just already so sweet.
Awesome.
And I had let's see. I had a Yasan that I was playing.
The Wanderer Bard.
Yasan and 2 Reclamation Sages and an Avacyn.
Wow.
And just like quality cards, 2 different invasive species and a living totem. It was good, is what I'm saying. And I was having a blast playing it. It was the most fun I've had playing a deck.
Was it a sweet curve and everything too?
Oh god, it was perfect. It was perfect.
Aww.
It didn't have much removal, but the thing is that on curve, I was just always playing the best creature.
Yeah.
It's like invasive species. Yeah, you're bouncing something, but it's a 3/3. And I would usually bounce something that I could get value out of. Like I would bounce a Reclamation Sage or I would bounce a Living Totem. Like just sweet fucking deck. And I go 3-0 in the first 3 rounds and I don't lose a single game. It's never even close. I just crush.
That's insane.
I crush 6 games in a row. Easy. And I get to round 4 and I win the first game and I lose the second. It's the first time this guy's playing like green black value and he manages to just like value me out with some with like some Unmake the Graves and his own Yasan in game 2. And so we go into game 3 and I go into sideboarding and I start sideboarding. And I put in a plummet cuz I'd seen an extra flyer that I hadn't seen before. And I click submit. And it takes me back to, you know, the page that shows all of the standings.
Yeah.
Which means that your opponent hasn't submitted their sideboarding deck yet. And I'm like, "Okay, fine." And it even says at the bottom, like, waiting for all players to submit deck. And I'm like, cool. So I'm just, like, chilling. And then, it 3 minutes go by, and I'm like,
wait a second.
What's going on here? And so I, like, try clicking around. And the thing is, the timer is still kept counting down. So in my initial inclination isn't, oh, I have been logged out of this program. Because the timer on the page is still fucking counting down.
Yeah.
And how could it be doing that if I was logged out of the program?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, crap. So I try and go to my game. And I just get a black screen.
Sad.
And I close and I reopen. And I close and I reopen this page. And the end result of this is that 10 minutes later, I am dropped for inactivity.
Oh my god.
And I flipped. I flipped out. I have never been quite so upset about anything on Modo ever.
And what?
It is easily the most upset I have ever been on Modo.
What did you do? You wrote to Wizards.
Yeah. So anyway, so I get dropped and I get 8 boosters for going 3-0.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? That's not why I'm playing this thing. And... You know, not to mention, like, someone who I was playing now just, like, got this qualification for free because Modo fucking just dropped me from the game. So I write Wizards and I'm like, hey, I would, like, I was at 3-0. You know, I was going into game 3 of round 4. Like, I would really appreciate, something.
Yeah.
Something ideally, like, honestly, I don't give a shit about the packs for this event. I would really like entry into the limited championships because that was the one opportunity that I had to play them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a long event. I was at my computer for 4 hours and I still wasn't finished.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long ass event. I don't have any other opportunity to play. I was having a great time and it was a really upsetting experience. And they write me back and they're like, you got 8 boosters, so we can't give you anything. Like, you got prizes for the event as you placed.
Yep.
Like, you went 3-0. And so that you get 8 boosters. And I wrote them back and I was like, that's unacceptable. Like, I hope you understand.
Yeah.
Why, like, you should not, as a company, be running an event of any more importance than a standard daily if you are not able to provide a program that's able to reliably run that event.
Yeah, and this has been something obviously people have been talking about for a long time, ever since, well, since before Brian Kibler wrote an article about how this was unacceptable.
Yeah.
And the Magic went away for a little bit running these kinds of events because they were going to fix it. Well, obviously there's still issues.
Exactly. And do you know what? Like, at the end of the day, I want to say I get it. I want to say that I get that it's difficult to run. But the fact is that they make, this is a multi-million dollar program. So fuck you. Spend your multi-million dollars that people are spending to play this game and make the program reliable. And if you can't make it reliable, don't run an event where it's more important than just winning some boosters, because the fact that there's no way that I can go back and like recreate that experience, and there's no way that I can earn that qualification when I felt like I had a very good chance to do right. So is just absolutely infuriating.
I mean, for me, the loss of time would be something that would make me kind of
angry. That's true. 4 fucking hours.
That's an investment. And you're saying, like, I am putting my time, not only my money, but my time into this.
Exactly.
And your program failing is not an expectation of what I hope to get out of an experience when I put my money and time into something.
Exactly. And it's, again, I just think that what it comes down to is, like, It is bottom line completely unacceptable. Like, how can you in good conscience ask people to sign up for an event when you don't even know if they're going to be able to play it through?
I know, it's pretty sad.
Like, imagine if you showed up in person to a sporting event. Like, right, you're running track and field and you're in the 100 meter dash. And then, like, in the middle of the 100 meter dash, they're just like, wait, actually, you can't run. Your lane doesn't work. Like, lane, do you know, like, lane 6, there are suddenly several potholes in lane 6 and you can't run. And by the way, that's it. You just can't fucking run.
I understand that this is a complicated thing for Wizards and there's 100 different corporate bullshit things that happen.
But it's still a multi-million dollar organization. Multi-million dollar company.
I mean, I'm not in there. I don't know what's going on, but to me, it just seems that because your product is failing in these high, you know, important and high importance events, that you need to perhaps amend your policy for compensation for when something happens. I don't know what the heck you can do.
For me, but I think the list goes like this. The order should go like this. 1, just make your program fucking run correctly, consistently. Like, that's 1. Do you know what? If you're not accomplishing that, okay, 2 is then don't run important events on it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you can't make it run consistently, don't run important things. And if you're still going to run important things, then 3, at least have a reasonable policy regarding that sort of shit that isn't just your normal, like, oh, well, I mean, you got 8 boosters because you won 3. Like, fuck you, I didn't win 3. I won 3 and then was dropped.
No shit.
Because when you say you got 8 packs for winning 3, you're implying that I lost 2. And I didn't lose 2. I was dropped before I could play them.
So if you've been listening to this MTGO woe story, you'll hear Megan having sworn more than she's ever sweared
on the show before. You guys, I thought that I was getting over it. Turns out that I'm still just absurdly mad. No, do you know what? I'm actually still really angry.
I'm sorry, Megan. I'm going to send you some flowers from Magic Online. They're going to show up at your work.
Magic Online, it's going to take more than some flowers
at this point. A dozen red roses. And
you need to say anything, this shit.
And what does that... Oh, I have to go out your window with a boombox?
Yes. And my favorite song, and I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Ooh, we just have to know you well enough.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. So let us know what you think about this compensation argument. It's been going on not only with us, but also with it was on Reddit a couple weeks ago with Brian from Limited Resources. And so, yeah, let us know what you think about all of this. Tweet at us at MTAcast. We'd love to hear from you. And Megan is going to punch a plate.
I am going to go punch a plate.
Did that sound like a reasonable suggestion, punching a plate that I just gave you?
No.
I was expecting you to be like, what does that mean? And you're just like, yeah.
I just assumed that it meant literally punch a plate because that's the only option.
Yeah, and then it shatters all cool?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we're going to don't do that.
Sweet. And I don't break any of my bones at all in my hand. And my hand is not cut by the breaking plate. It's really an ideal plate punching situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, everybody, that's our show.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for listening. We hope you're, number one, excited about cons. Number two, looking to hear about some more mechanics in the future.
Three, we hope that you're also glad to soon be done with M15 forever.
And four, that you enjoyed seeing Megan real mad.
There you go.
Everyone, you can catch us on the internet at magictheamateuring.com, subscribe on iTunes, or if you don't have an iPhone, you can follow us on Stitcher. Stitcher is an app you can download that will get all of your podcasts to you real easy. We also post our podcast every week on magictheamateuring.com as well as themeatery.org.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add because I don't know what was missing because I was ruminating on how angry I was at Moto.
All right, Megan's going to go take a, she's going to take a nap.
I'm going to go take an angry nap.
I'm going to give you some
take
warm
a rage
milk.
Nap.
Rage nap.
This a has been our nap. This has been our podcast. I'm going to go rage nap.
Oh my God.
This
say
has
a
been
prayer for Megan, everybody.
Amateuring.
Say a prayer for Megan.
You can find us on Magic Online if we ever get back on it again.
I'm horny underscore unicorny.
I'm ice cream socialist. Maybe I'll be on, but maybe I won't.
Sayonara.
Bye, guys.